This conference is being recorded.
Thank everybody for being able to come to our last day event. According to last day events in light of current events. Right now we're going to be looking at the chart. When you go to people of color in the Bible, when you go to our charts on the last day events for the conference call, when you hit last day events, you should see my picture, and we're going through a particular chart. You can purchase the chart from us, and it's online also. Right now, we're starting with, it mentions the seven seals. It's last day events according to the gospel versus the book of Revelation. On the left-hand side, column is last day events according to the gospels, and if you read across horizontally, to your right, you'll see Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. You'll see Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. And you'll also see Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 19. All of these verses here all explain the first five seals. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they say similar stories. And now what we're trying to do is compare the Gospels to Matthew 24, Mark 21, Mark 13, and Luke 21. What we find is when we turn to Matthew 24, you have your scriptures. You can turn to Matthew 24 so you can actually follow along of what the Bible actually says. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start at verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." I would like to go up one verse before that, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" That's the one question. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" That's a second question. "And of the end of the world?" Third question. So there's three questions that the disciples are asking Yeshua, Jesus. And they are, again, when shall these things come, the destruction of Jerusalem? One, what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the second question. And what shall be basically the sign of the end of the world? The third question. From verse 4 all the way through verse number 31, Yeshua or Jesus explains to his disciples these answers. Of when is his coming, when is he going to come back, when is going to be the end of the world, and when is going to be the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, many people, and so that's what the scenario will be. So, back to verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." So, we see the first sign or the first thing that will denote his coming or the end, the sign of his coming or the sign of the end of the world would be deception of the highest order. So he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Here we see the deception that Yeshua is talking about. He says, make sure that nobody deceives you, because many will come in my name. Now, today it is very broadcast in the churches, is that all you have to do is believe in the name of Jesus. That's all you need. You don't have to reform your life. You don't have to change your life. You just need to believe in the name of Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. He says, many will come in my name, saying I am Christ, come in the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus is the Christ. And that's all you have to do, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the scripture says much more than that. And they say that, well, if you confess them with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the Christ, then you are saved. But salvation is bigger than you just speaking some words. But that's what he said would be the deception in the last days. And saying, I am Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, come in Jesus' name, saying Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. And most people are running after the prosperity gospel. Many people are just going to church and not really understanding what the scriptures are really saying. They're not studying the scriptures. It's more tradition. And we know that Jesus said that when in the last days, or not even the last days, at the time of Jesus, that he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that ye make void the law of God through your tradition. Even though they're using the name of Jesus, even though they're saying they're following God, that's entirely different. Now, when we correlate that with the first, okay, so that's the first sign. We're going to go through a few more signs. So that would correlate with the first seal. We'll go back to Revelation in a minute. Then the next sign is in verse number 6 of Matthew 24. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So this would be our second major sign, that there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, and that's what we've been seeing over the last few years. We've been seeing since Bush was in office, the first Bush, we went into Iraq, and we've been in there, we bombed them, and we were in there. Then when his son came back, the second Bush, we went back over to Iraq, and we've been in there ever since. Now, with President Obama as president, he finds himself in Iraq, all over oil. And we found out that it was taking $1 billion a month that we were paying for this war. So after each year, 12 months, you have 12 times $1 billion, you had $12 billion. And we know he was in office for two consecutive winnings, 8 years. So we can see how that's skyrocketed through the roof. And we find ourselves in a predicament of what we call today a depression or recession. Then let's see what the third sign is. Now, if we correlate that, the first sign to the white horse found in Revelation, and we'll go to that. And then we find the second sign, which Jesus talks about wars, compared to a red horse. And we'll get into that also. Then when we move over to the next sign, for nation shall rise against nation, this is verse 7 of Matthew 24, and kingdom against kingdom. So after the wars, the second sign, then it leads into something else. And there shall be famine. Okay? When we talk about famine, talking about food, or we're talking about people not being able to buy food, finding themselves in a depression or whatever state. I remember when we was in the 1929 depression that people were standing in line to get food. Bread lines, that's what it was called. And so I would assume that's where you had problems or sort of like a famine or more of a depression. And today we find ourselves in a worldwide depression or recession, as people have told us. In this worldwide depression or recession, whatever we're in, we find that it's not locally, it's worldwide. It's being felt in Japan, China, India, United States, South America, North America, Canada. So this is a global event. And when we went to war in Iraq, it was a global, it was supposed to be, when we first went in, it was the under the UN sanction. So the whole world united together into Iraq to start these wars. And so these are worldwide events, and that's what I wanted us to be able to see. Then it says, and continuing on in verse number 7 of Matthew 24, and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. That's our fourth sign. The pestilence, which is disease of all different types. Right now we've been hearing about bird flu. We've been hearing about different other type of diseases. They said that we don't hepatitis is coming back. The vaccines that we have for that is not working. A lot of the flus aren't working. So there's all these different diseases or pestilences that are actually coming on the stage of action. AIDS, we know, is just running rampant worldwide also. Okay? And then it says earthquakes. I don't know if people have been listening, but there's been a lot of earthquakes that have been happening in the last few years. And they've been registering on 6 scales and so forth and 7 and stuff like that. Those are unusual. So that's what we're finding also happening. And then it says that these will happen in different places. Now, the Bible lets us know also when we look at the fourth, when we look at the third seal, it's the black horse. And we'll look at that. That would be relating to the famine or the pest or the depression. And then we look at the fourth seal. The fourth seal is a pale horse. And we're going to go back and you're going to actually see that this fourth seal is the Bible refers to as the famine, disease, pestilence, and all and death, including the wild animal. And that's where I thought about the swine flu, mad cow disease, tuberculosis is coming back, hepatitis C, all of these different problems that we find ourselves in today. Also, notice what verse number 8 says. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So the first four signs are just the beginning of what we're going to see. Then there'll be something else that'll trigger after that, which will be our fifth sign. And it says, then, after these things occur, the first four signs, under the fifth sign, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Now this is interesting because during this particular time frame, it's talking about that they shall deliver you up. Deliver you up. Who's going to deliver who up? Well, this is the churches delivering church people up to be afflicted and killed. Why would they want to kill you? And ye shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended. Now, many people are looking for what they call the rapture. There is no rapture, so when many people find out that they're going to be going through the last days or going through the 7 trumpets, 7 seals, and 7 plagues, many people will be offended and will be upset with that because of what the church told them and it's not happening. At that point, when they're offended, then they're going to betray those who are trying to do what Yahweh has asked them to do. And that's why it says they'll betray one another and will hate one another. So many people will start hating people, just as in the time of Jesus, that hating the disciples, didn't want to hear the truth, hating the apostles, hating John the Baptist, hating Jesus. That's why they put him to death. Then it says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now notice, all of this is happening in the inside of the church because the Bible lets us know in Thessalonians that there shall become a falling away first, and that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is named and is God. Let's turn to the Thessalonians just for a minute. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians. And we're looking at... It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, if we start at verse number 1, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now all the scriptures we're reading are in the King James Version. Everybody knows. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So this is sort of what it says. "Let," verse 3, "let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come," it's talking about the second coming of last days, "except there come a falling away first." Falling away first where? In the church, not in the world. The world is always falling away. So there'll be a falling away first in the church, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So now we have, in the last days, the Bible letting us know that there'll be a falling away first, and someone will come, and people will worship him as God in the church. And so when we go back to Matthew 24, that's what he's letting us know, that there'll be in verse number 11 of Matthew 24, "and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many in the church. And because iniquity shall abound," that's sin, abounding in the world and in the church everywhere, "the love of many shall wax cold." And that's when you read also about the Laodicean church. The Bible lets us know that he wished that we were hot or cold. But since we are not neither hot nor cold, that he will spew us out of his mouth. And here we see that it says the love of many will wax cold. People will be cold one to another. And we see that in the world and everywhere. "But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." And so it's talking about not just us who begin the race, but us that go all the way to the end. And if you notice, I said that goes up to verse 14, the fifth seal. So this was our fifth sign. And then in verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So now he's letting us know here, my understanding is that these verses 4 through 14, describe very clearly the first five seals found in the book of Revelation. Now let's go over to the book of Revelation and let's see if we can find that. In the book of Revelation, we're looking at chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. And we'll start at verse number 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." So we see here on the first seal is a white horse. As you can see it on the chart, it says that he was given a bow. Okay, he has a bow, and he was given a crown. Now, many people will try to say that that represents Christ, because Christ wears, is dressed in white. represents purity. That's what they would say. And that he goes forth conquering and to conquer. And the God, and Christianity, the Roman Christian world, did use the crusades, and they did conquer with bloodshed. They did conquer in the name of Jesus. And even today, that we're in America because they said that they were winning America and all the heathen around the world to Christ. And so that's where we were. Also, when they talk about slavery, that they were conquering Africa to enslave us so that they can bring Christianity or the good word, the good news to Africa. So in the name of Christianity, it seems like it's been spreading around the world, but it's not been spreading with love. It's been spreading with the sword. And that's what it says, that it is going forth conquering and to conquer. Now, when we think about a bow, the bow and arrow by the Native Americans is not at this time, because we're in the book of Revelation, we're talking about the Roman Empire. It was called a crossbow. And a crossbow is nothing but a cross, basically, and then it has a bow on top of it that you pull it back. Now, some of you might have seen that. Some of you might not have. And so that's the type of bow it was talking about. Now, in the Christian world, the thing that we use to symbolize Christianity is the cross, which is a bow. That's what it is. It's a cross. The bow is a cross. So that's what he's saying here, that they'll be leading out in white, in righteousness, or in the name of righteousness, and they will be carrying a cross or a bow, which would symbolize them, and they were given a crown. Now, we want to compare this to Revelation chapter 19, where they say that this represents Christ. In Revelation 19, we want to compare the two horses and the horsemen to see if they're the same. Okay, in Revelation chapter 19, if you look at verse 11 and move forward, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." So they are correct. There is a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. So it's very clear that Christ, he is faithful and he is true. And it says that his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were, and on his head were many crowns. Now notice here, these one that we saw in chapter, the first seal, was given a crown. He didn't own any crowns. This one we see here owns many crowns. So even though they're both wearing white, both dressed in white, or both wearing white horses or on white horses, that's the only thing that's the same. The one has a crown, and one has many crowns. So it doesn't seem like it might be the same person. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we know the one riding the white horse in Revelation 19 is the Messiah. And the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's verse 15. So we see that this one who's riding him has a sword, not a bow. So it doesn't seem that this is the same person. And verse 16 says, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we see the description given about Yeshua, or Jesus the Messiah, in chapter 19. It's not the same description that is given to us in Revelation 6 under the white horse, the first horse. So let's turn back to Revelation 6 at verse 2 so that we can see that. Once we know that, now the next thing what we would like to do is that is the next seal. Okay, so if the first seal represents that, no, we still look at the first seal. when we look at the first seal, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, can Satan appear in white or as Christ? And if he does, what is he trying to reveal? Does the Bible warn us that they will come in the name of Christ? That Satan will come that way and deceive many? Well, when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to start at verse number 13. And it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So yes, so this white horse, person riding it, according to the scriptures, who's a counterfeit, would be Satan and his apostles. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So the Bible does let us know that there's going to be a falling away in the church. This falling away in the church will have the ministers transformed into ministers of righteousness, and Satan himself will appear as an angel of light, just as he had mentioned in Matthew 24. Okay, so now, as we look specifically at that particular verse, let's move on to the second seal. Let's see what we can find here. Okay, so now we see in verse, in Matthew 24, he lets us know in Matthew 24, the first sign was that many will come in his name, saying they're Christ, and shall deceive many, which compares to the deception or the counterfeit in the first seal. So let's see if the second sign, which is wars and rumors of wars, we found in Matthew 24, matches the second seal. The second seal, we'll read verse number 3 in Revelation 6. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" Verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." So here we see a red horse, which symbolizes blood, and he had power was given him to take peace from the earth. That means war, killing. And then he says, "And that they should kill one another, and it should be given a great sword." And so my understanding was that this wars that we've been having since the Bushes have been in administration on Iraq and over in that area, that we have basically, as a matter of fact, it was a world type of a war, because all of the UN and everybody went over there the first time. So everybody was against him. So it was a worldwide event. And the same thing that we're finding here, that it would be some type of worldwide event that would take peace from the earth. And since then, we haven't had peace. We're worrying about, I mean, we've given up all our rights to worry about what? Terrorists or all of this other stuff that we're being told. So people are scared. We're giving up our rights, we're giving up our constitution and everything. And so that's where we're finding ourselves. Okay? Even in Europe, they're scared. They're worrying about that type of stuff over there. Okay, now let's look at the third seal. The third seal, the way I'm placing this, the third seal, we'll read in verse number 5, chapter 6 of Revelation. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Now, this is the most interesting one, is this third seal. He says that he'll be a black horse and he'll have a pair of balances in his hand. And he says in the midst of the four beasts, it says, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. Now, I remember when we were bombing Iraq the first time, that I remember that they were saying that it was costing, I think, $100 or $50 for one, no, it was $100 for one bag, 50-pound bag of wheat. Now, that's interesting because it says here that the time will come when a measure of wheat will flee for a penny. Now, the reason why I mention that is because when we talk about in the time of the Messiah, a penny was a day's labor. So he's talking about it's going to take almost all your money to buy food. Okay? So for something like that, it says 3 measures of barley. That's what people would use. I mean, wheat you make bread with. Barley you would make sort of like a rice, something that you can eat. And notice it says, see that you heard not the oil nor the wine. Now, during what we're calling a depression or recession situation that we're finding ourselves in today in America and around the world, this worldwide depression that started last year in 2008, October, it parallels the October in 1929 when the crash occurred. And what we are finding out is that this is a worldwide event. It affects in the bank, the credit cards, and all the different parts of the world. With this, it's not hurting, if anybody's noticed, the oil prices. The oil prices have been going steadily up. It's they're still making money. As the Bible says, they hurt not the what? The oil and the wine. Now, I'm sure if people are still looking, if they're looking at drugs and so forth, drugs are wreaking havoc. I'm sure they're at an epidemic. And also selling wine and liquor, the spirits. I'm sure the liquor stores are making out very well. And during the depression of the 1929s, that's when they had, what, the liquor and all of that had reached academic reports. And so that's why they eventually legalized it. Even today, people are talking about legalizing marijuana, drugs. So we see that there's a pattern of what has been going on. And my understanding is that we are in the third seal. That this depression or recession, whatever they want to call it, is just constantly going down until it reaches the fourth seal. And in the fourth seal, it's an interesting one because that's the one we'll probably stop on. And it says here, verse number 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. I mean, sorry, not verse 6. Verse number 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, that was the second seal, and to kill with hunger, that was the third seal, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And so this is where I believe we're in the third seal, not the fourth. But the fourth seal is a combination of the second, the wars, the third with the depression or famine. It calls it hunger here. So times are going to get tight that we're going to have to stand in line maybe to get food. And then it says with death, all different types of death, and with the beasts of the field of the earth, which would correlate with the swine flu, the mad cow disease, and some of these other things that they are saying related to animals. They even claim that Ebola virus came from the monkeys. So what we're seeing here is as time goes on, that Yahweh, God, is trying to warn us of the events before they occur. And so we just pray that everyone will be able to sort of understand, monitor, and see what will be next. Because under the fifth seal, that's when the persecution begins. So we're going to end here today, and we pray that everyone was able to sort of understand what has been presented, and we pray that the Lord will be able to richly bless you as we go through these last day events and see ourselves. Thank you.